And I'll carry that.
Okay. I'm going to call this meeting to order. We're going to introduce ourselves, and then we're going to exit to the outside and have a special pledge of allegiance to the flag outside with our first responders in the valley. Okay, I'm Margie Holland. I'm the chairman of the Moapa Valley Town Advisory Board.
Megan Porter, board member.
Lois Hall, board member.
Janice with the Commissioner for Patrick's office.
And Kristen Pearson is excused tonight. We don't know where Jean is right now, but we should be here.
You are welcome to join us. Wonderful.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation,
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I didn't forget one thing. We're going to stop at the cone. The first one will be right there across from Maverick, and we're going to have a moment of silence. Then we're going to do the next 71 steps to the next cone, have a moment of silence, and then all the way to the station and have one more.
Anybody have any questions? All right.
Okay, if we could all turn, head to the library parking lot, we'll get traffic blocked, and then we'll be on our way.
I don't know, did it interfere with the big old
That's our live feed.
Oh, Jean.
No, I mean, the way it was acting was like, did it hit a big beat?
Okay. Very nice.
Yes.
You can make it. You want to say the invocation?
Sure.
Okay, we already said the pledge outside. So.
Okay.
Jean Houston is going to say our invocation. All rise.
Our Heavenly Father, we humbly come before Thee at the beginning of this Town Advisory Board meeting. We thank Thee for our blessings. We're thankful for this valley that we have the opportunity to live in. We're thankful to be part of this great country and part of the process of being able to make decisions and to help better the community that we live in. Bless us here this evening that we'll be able to discuss those things that need to be discussed, and we'll be able to come up with solutions and answers to things that need to have their answers for. We love thee and thank thee for all that we have, and we recognize thy hand in all our many blessings, and say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Okay, we've already done a roll call, so we'll open this up to public comment. This period is devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote will be taken on this agenda item. Does anybody have any public comments now that they want to make about an item on the agenda, or you want to wait until the item is presented? Okay. Approval of August 14, 2019 minutes. Do I hear a motion for that?
I'll make that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, approval of agenda for September 11th, 2019. Do I hear a motion for that?
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda for September 11th, 2019.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the Bureau of Land Management will be providing information regarding a draft environmental assessment that analyzes the environmental impact of the Gold Butte National Monument Historic Properties Protection Project. The project consists of installation and maintenance of interpretive and recreational facilities at three cultural complexes, sites, Falling Man, Kirk's Grotto, and Whitney Pockets. The document will be available for public review and comment on from August 30th to September 30th, 2019. This is for discussion only.
Good evening. Lee Kirk, Acting Monument Manager for Gold Butte National Monument. I just want to give you an update on the project that I presented, I believe, back in February for that cultural project that we have, three sites in Gold Butte. We have created a draft environmental assessment. Basically, looks at the impacts of some of the amenities we want to look at, bathrooms, trails, kiosk information for those sites. So that's available for the public until September 30th. I do have a handout. I'll leave it over on the side. It provides where the document is, where you can read it. You can also where you can provide comments, anything like that. So. This is part of the project now. After that, it'll be go through the process of getting the comments, beginning if there's any changes that we need to make to the document, and then we're going to have to look at the sites and then treat the sites possibly through data recording or other things that we might need to do to protect the site before we actually put the amenities. Then after that, we'd actually implement anything we approved. So again, this is open till September 30th. The document's on our site. You can also provide comments there, or you can send emails or send in through a letter. So, any questions on that? Well, thank you. I will leave the information over here again, and that's all contact information where to provide comments.
Thank you.
Okay, number two on informational items, Greg Bodine to discuss possible request for a non-conforming zone change at 070-13-101-060. And 070-13-101-061 for discussion only.
Hi, I'm asking for consideration of a mobile home park on two adjoining lots located on the corner of Whitmore and Dale. Parcel numbers are 070-13-101-060 and 070-13-101-061. This neighborhood is mostly manufactured homes and bare lots. Within one block in this area, I personally built a new steel-built home, and so this would be beneficial to the neighborhood. My overall maximum density would be no more than four double-wide mobile homes, or five single-wide manufactured homes, or mixed to fit within the allowed spaces or what the Valley Town Advisory Board would be comfortable with. Following the requirements of 4,000 square feet for a double-wide and 2,880 for a single-wide unit, as I perceive to be from the county website shown below, which could be right or wrong. I'll make sure of that before going any further with it, but I'll make sure that's there. I was asked by a local resident to mention the possibility of tiny homes. I know there is one here in town that is on wheels, so I believe it may qualify as a manufactured home, if possible, making those a viable option on a mobile home park. I hope that would create affordable housing for the younger couples and for seniors here in this valley. And then below you see the manufactured homes that are. RT, which is zoned RT in that area. Next page is setbacks, the next page is no more on setbacks and everything else. And
do you have anything that shows where it's at?
Pardon?
It shows where it's at, where the exact area is.
Sure, the Sugarloaf Ranch is right across the street from that. Next, across from the trail corner of Gellum and Whitmore. Woodworking shops right there on the corner of Whitmore Dill on the northwest corner, northeast corner. This would be on the southeast corner of Whitmore Dill. Across the street is the Sugarloaf Ranch and ranching area there. Mm-hmm. And I've got some lots of references to size constraints for the area around this. Here in town, there on the boulevard is 070-13701-005, located 104 South Mojave Valley Boulevard. This one's part of a commercial use property that has absolutely no setbacks. And I realized at that time, the building being built, that there was most likely no setbacks on the boulevard, as the town was trying to make it look more like the big cities, as I would imagine. That particular property was probably referred to as Teresa Holzer's law office, since that's the name on the building. And that particular one, that is listed as 0.11 acres and 24 feet wide by 193.41, and the building on the parcel is 24 feet wide. Now, this one, albeit, is part of several parcels known as a former L.J. McCormick residence. He's got several parcels not mapped together, but they're all part of that property. There's other properties around the area there. Two, they're owned by the same person, is 070-13-211-024. This one's on McDonald between Oliver and Whitmore. It is two lots combined to one. They are 23.67 by 121.5 and 25 by 121.5, or 0.07 acres each. Now it's 1.14 acre property. And if you look down through, there's several other properties in that area that are between 0.10 and 0.14. These two properties combined is 0.42. So kind of a split down would be basically equal to 4.14, not quite, but close in within reason. And so I'm not trying to, you know, bend any rules by any means. I'm trying to instead make it to where it's kind of uniform with what's in the area. So that's why I say no more than 4 double wide or maybe 5 single wides, of course, to your, you know, approval of that, whichever you feel is the best in that area. And basically, that's what I'd like to do with it, is just keep it at minimum density instead of going as max density. You know, it's kind of keep it minimal. At max density, where it's very limited, so what's there?
So what's around you?
Around that is bare land on that, up to the corner of the, let's see.
We're talking about the lots of all
Ingram
your neighbors.
Behind that is a mobile home. Further down that street is mobile homes. Across the street would be, there's a Sugarloaf Ranch or Bob's Woodworking Shop.
Or
there on Adele. And next to that was, I can't think of his last name, Nick something, he's a metro officer. He had a house built kind of key corner to the west of that on the L. But that whole area there, there's three lots that are vacant right now. Two of those are mine. The other one is a couple out of Pony, Montana, that I've tried to negotiate with buying their lot as well. Now, the very end corner there at Ingram is a house there as well, a manufactured home, I should say. So around the whole area, besides for the one house there on Adele, it's all manufactured or bare lots.
When you say manufactured, it's brought in with wheels, or are you talking about stuff that's put on foundations?
They don't put on foundations, they're on wheels, but they've got the scurry underneath. But this one here would have basically the same thing, the scurry underneath.
So we got all of them on lots that are approximately, what, 0.4 acres or something like that, and then you're trying to put
no,
four on the same
lots
side.
Of point 0.14 to 0.17 acre around there.
Okay, 0.17.
So I've got 2.21 lots, which is 0.42 total. So it'd be equal to about, depending on which one it is, 3 to 3.5. But I'm trying to negotiate, like I said, with a third lot up there, the people from Pony, Montana. I've got another lot around the corner on Oliver and Adele that I'm trying to negotiate with them to trade me that one there, because it's cash and all, so I can get a bigger parcel there.
What's your zoning now?
RT. That's right there on the first part.
That's the current zoning that you have?
Pardon?
You have RT now?
Yeah, it's RT right now.
So you can put a trailer on that lot right today?
Yeah, I can put a trailer on right now.
Okay, so I'm not sure what you're asking for then.
I'd like to go up to manufacturing home park. So basically, a manufacturing home park there. So basically, put no more than 4 double wides or no more than 5 single wides, of course, what you're comfortable with. So basically, as it sits, you can have 2 right now. But I'd like to increase that just slightly. Make a mobile home park where the rental space could be low enough for maybe the younger couples and seniors to afford to live in that area. Of course, this would have to be based on county approval because size limits may be they aren't going to do it, but I want to make sure I talk with you first and get your input on it before I go and talk with county.
I guess my issue is you've got an area that's all on lots that are going to be bigger than that. Now you're wanting to put a itty-bitty mobile home park in the middle of all that. Most mobile home parks I see, they're a little bigger type community with some types of amenities and things of that nature. And so we don't spot build them all over the place on a little bit of lot and just jam a whole bunch of trailers on there.
I'm not planning to put a bunch of trailers on there. And also, if you go up the street on Whitmore, about another, just right there about McDonald's, I think is what it is, just past Ingram, there is basically a half block thing there that is RV park right there, which is going to take a lot more. See, this here is just going to be strictly maybe 4 maximum, double wides or 5 maximum, single wide.
And so where's the RV park?
It's 1 block.
Rick Whitmore and McDonald. Catherine's RV park.
Okay.
And that's
I didn't even know
much
that
bigger
there.
Area.
Yeah, it's bigger and it's RVs.
Mm-hmm. So,
which this is not qualified for an RV park. It's going to be way too small, and I might talk to county about that.
Yeah,
that's an
it just seems
problem.
Too small to be an RV for a mobile home park. Mm-hmm. I think a mobile home park is 30, 40 trailers with a clubhouse.
And streets. And
yeah, this won't be to that extent. This is going to be just like a small version of a mobile home park where it would be like a small, very small community. Maybe, like I said, no more than 4 double wides or no more than 5 single wides.
Yeah.
You know, as it sits, I could put 2 on there, 1 on each one. So basically, to go like 1, maybe 2 more in the total area.
Well, it's for discussion only. So.
Well, I got 2-3 concerns, and the one concern is spot building RV parks.
Mm-hmm.
You're making something that I think is going to end up being, after a time when nobody wants to take care of it, a blight. Because you're going to jam some trailers together, doesn't have any maintenance, no agreement, no, like a trailer park would have. I don't know. I worry about it a little bit. I got no problem with like Fun and Sun and, you know, something that's a little bit bigger and they got some type of a
maintenance
agreement or whatever they got, but you're just putting a bunch of trailers on the site and it depends on whoever owns, whether you own it or somebody else gets it sold to, what it's going to look like 20 years from now or 10 years from now.
Yeah, that would be something I would have in the agreements if I sold the property or some in the future, that they keep it going forward to where they do maintain and keep that property clean. And if someone's not keeping the yard clean, go in there and get it cleaned up, because me personally, and I'm sure anybody else would buy that property, would not want the county people come in there and say, hey, look, you got to clean this up. They don't want zoning to come out there and say, you know, you got to get this cleaned up, because that's not what I'd want or anybody else would want in that neighborhood.
Yeah, well, those are my concerns. That's
mine too.
And which, like I said, I'd be more than happy to put that in a thing where it goes forward 100%.
No matter what we do with the non-conforming zone change, you're going to end up having to do some meetings anyway. You're going to have to do some neighborhood meetings that are going to happen out here, and you're going to invite your neighbors over. So we'll get a feel for it on that part of it too.
Yeah, like I said, I just wanted to address you with it to get an idea of if it would be something that could be feasible. I mean, the county may say no based on the size. You know, before I go any further, I'd want to go and talk with them. I wanted to ask
That'd
you
be
first
a good idea.
Before I go and talk to them. If they say it's too small, end of discussion, it's no longer a discussion. But they say that they would consider it if you considered it then at that point there to bring in the neighborhood and talk with other people in the area.
Typically when the county adds density, they also add they also try to set aside a certain amount of common or recreation type area that goes with it. Because you're saying, okay, you're going to live right here, you're not going to have any lawn or that, but over here we're going to have a little park area for you, and place to sit under some shade or whatever, or some type of amenities, and that's typically how they put most of those together, at least I believe.
Yep, open space for PUDs.
Some type of open space, and so they may require that you have supply enough of that that the people have someplace to go other than just in their trailer.
Right, and I think I'd have enough room for that because each lot is 9,000 square feet. So
yeah,
I feel there's enough room for that. You know, I've kind of looked at everything from a feasibility point of needing to have exactly what you said there, a little common area where you can go and sit under a shade tree or have a little park for the children or whatever the case may be, or a laundry facility. You know, although there's one here in town, so that may not even be necessary anymore since there is one here in town. But before that came about, I was thinking more of a line of a laundry facility.
Okay.
All right, thank you for your time.
You bet.
Thank you. Okay, number three, Ruth BC, to discuss the timeline of the roads paving list, priority number four, Ingram from Whitmore to Yamashita, or Yamashita, depending on how you pronounce it. Huh?
I just have a few questions. I have people that live on our street that can't take their property out because there's no place for them to walk. It's just all like that. Then we have issues with people that are on the oxygen with all the dust. I have people that are riding in my yard with their little four-wheelers and their motorcycles and all their stuff. And I was just wondering, are we going to get it paved? When I bought the property, I was told it was going to be paved within 2 years. And now it's
so
just
who
like,
lied to you?
Yeah.
Who lied to you?
Probably no, my realtor.
Okay, because that's
makes sense.
Do we have a timeline? No. Or there's nothing, we don't know nothing?
It's based on the money builds up. It's done by a gas tax. And as that builds up, they get a certain amount of money out there, and then they go down the list, and then they start paving those roads. And they've done several over the years, but I've been on his for 20-plus years and seen some to get done. But it takes a while.
It takes a long time. I've been at my house for 33 years.
But I've been 25 years, but I bought a house on a paved road. Yeah. And so there was a choice that was made when you bought the house where you're at. Mm-hmm. But the county has offered to pave the roads over time with gas tax. Mm-hmm. And we put them on in a basically based on the number of people that are on the road and the use of the road and connecting, all that type of stuff. And we try to prioritize and get some of the roads paved. And they have done that. But I don't have a timeline. I honestly can't tell you. The squeaky wheel may get the grease. I don't know if we get enough people to go talk to the county and see if they'll do that. But we don't make that decision anyway.
Okay.
It's going to go through, I don't know who it is now. Is it?
It's still Vinicius Rubber with Public Works.
Well, he's the boss, but yeah.
They're looking for direction from the town via that list right there. So,
well, they want to move up on the where they at?
Again, this is
they're number
only,
four.
So you can't
you're number what?
They're number four, and it
number
says
four.
Recommended.
And what's paving ahead of them?
Cameron, St. Joseph, to Palo Verde, Perkins, Whitmore, 1,000 feet west, and Paiute, Jensen, 840 feet north. Full pavement on the Jensen one, partial on the Perkins one, full on the Cameron, and partial on the Ingram, Whitmore to Yamashita is a partial.
And this one is where now? Yeah, yeah.
Is this the
Ingram, Whitmore, to Yamashita?
The other concern there is it's only partial right of way.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have to purchase a right of way and the person either doesn't want to sell or is unreasonable, they're going to move to the next street that has full right of way.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're saying that everyone on the street wants it paved more than they want 30 feet of property.
We've already given the property when we bought the houses.
It says partial, so.
But the property on that side, they did not.
Okay, and they don't have to. They might want to live on a dirt road, I don't know.
But it's farmland.
Okay, they don't have to give the right of way, and at that point, they wouldn't pave half the street. I mean, Gene knows the history way better than I do, but when you build a home, you're responsible
for half the street.
For half the street improvement in front of your house.
To the edge of your property.
Where the people were. Everybody wanted to waive it because it's so expensive. So it gets waived again and again and again and pushed down the road and pushed down the road. We have folks all the time in here asking for a waiver for paving and offsites. And we usually say yes because of where we are. So.
We're not going to get paid because of the person on the other side.
That could be
possible. That's basically it.
That would be something that may delay it. It's on the list, but when they get to that, they have to determine if they have enough right of way to be able to pave it.
Okay.
No.
Like I gave up part of mine so that it could be. I was told I had to give it up.
But you do. And the guy across the street, if he ever decides to divide or build or whatever, he'll have to give up his. But if he doesn't, he doesn't have to give it up. They have to come in and purchase it if he's willing to sell.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to get a big box and get out in the front yard then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what's the speed limit now? 25?
25, right? That's about as low as they go in a residential area.
They don't do lower than 25.
No, they don't. Not the residential.
Yeah,
there's lots of traffic.
Call the cops. Tell them you've got people racing up and down your street, and they'll go set a cop car down there and see if they can catch them. Yeah. Okay, Scott Chambers to discuss addition, adding the unpaved portion of Lewis Avenue to the road's paving list for discussion only. Is Scott Chambers here? Thank you.
Welcome.
Not to do Dot Park does your job.
No, Scott Chambers. Number five, the Community Development Block Grant CDBG map included as a follow-up for things related to the Community Development Advisory Committee, CDAC, for discussion only.
I believe that Amelia put this in here based on the last meeting it was brought up.
Mm-hmm. Is there anybody here from Capitol Apple?
I did not. But Amelia may have.
Well, Amelia said...
Oh, you mean, yes, they did finally connect... No.
So did they go, or did they? Because I heard they were coming to the meeting, so we was going to talk about it.
Oh, no, that I don't know.
All right, because I already talked about this at the last meeting.
Right.
And so she mentioned that Capalapa was coming, and we was going to have a discussion, but if Capalapa's not here, we've already talked about it. I would just suggest that right now, I looked at it today, and they have 13 projects in there. Six of them are incomplete, so they're not completely done. So I know they're still in the process of doing the submittals.
Yep.
You're never going to get any money if you don't apply.
Sure.
And
with a good project.
Mm-hmm. And if you have a good project and it sounds good to the group, it doesn't matter how much money you get. They gave away $594,000 last year on the ESG funds. Mm-hmm. And they did that out of probably 20 plus groups. Salvation Army, you know, there's a myriad of people that come.
Yep.
Catholic Charities, Lutheran Charities, there's lots and lots of different ones. And Boulder City, they really don't have much of a homeless situation, but they have people that are struggling and sometimes need help with food or rent assistance and different things to help them keep in a place. It'd be the same here. And they get money pretty much every year because they apply for it.
Yeah,
and it might be only $20,000, $25,000, but it's still...
Exactly. It goes a long ways.
Yeah. They've got to step up.
Yeah.
I've been struggling for months to get them to talk with the OAG grant people. That's what, when you asked me that, my train of thought was on the OAG grant. They finally just, we were ready to take the money away. I don't think last year's funds have been completely spent, and they hadn't done what needed to be due to accept that Maryland, once again, gave money. So.
I got another question. Are they 501c3?
That's what I, yeah, they have to be to get an OAG grant.
Okay, so they already are. That was my other concern. I didn't know if they had done that yet.
Nope, they have to be.
All right. Well, if they did that, then I think they can apply for it. But they're going to have to show some type of success or management in being able to do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And if they can't do that, they'll struggle.
Now, you've sat on the CDAC. Have they presented before, Kapalapa?
Never.
Oh, never. Are you Scott?
No, that's a Levitt. That's a Levitt.
Oh, sorry.
You know me?
I do know you. I'm sorry. So then, shame on them. I don't know. Is that it? That's our only applicant? Would that be?
There's nobody here that's. We had one group that came in on the home lift part of that, and it was some. They were going to fix up a trailer park here or something, and they got some funds to do that. And I don't know if that ever come to pass or not. But I know they came and presented, but that was talking in the millions.
Yeah.
So that was, it's in a different pot. Mm-hmm. The first pot is the ESG funds, and then it's usually around $500,000 to $600,000.
Wow.
And so that would be what Kapalapa would be probably looking for. But mm-hmm. Some of these others are for shelters or for homes to get people that are low or moderate income, to get them in a place that they can afford. Mm-hmm. They build assisted living type deals with half, you know, something that costs them $1,400 only costs them $600 or $700 mm-hmm. or even mm-hmm. less.
Bonnie Lane Senior Apartments on Lake Mead is through CDBG.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, and stuff that they just built on Boulder Highway, same uh-huh. thing. Stuff off the, what's it called, Santa Barbara Palms, mm-hmm. George Dukakis.
You've got to ask, though.
But you have to ask.
It's going
to
be a nice
they're doing a bigger deal. I mean, they come in for $20 million, you know, for projects like that.
Right.
But there's this, funds that are
serving,
there for all that kind of
yes,
stuff.
Yes, and they're serving a large population.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll have Amelia double check with them if they didn't understand we wanted them more.
Okay.
I don't know.
And they have to talk for approximately 3 minutes and answer questions. For
yeah, I've sat in on a couple of them, but it was years ago.
It's easy.
Yep.
I mean, you want to put a presentation together, mm-hmm. and you might want to hand out, these
yep.
are some of the things that we did, and these are the list of volunteer hours, and these are how many people we've helped, non-duplicated, mm-hmm. this year, the year before, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And if you tell it, it's kind of a dog and pony show, but if you mm-hmm. give a good presentation, there's a good chance that you, especially if you're not asking for a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for $10,000. Mm-hmm. Well, in
those
that,
are easy to fund.
Those are easy to fund.
Yeah.
They go a long ways.
Cool. Are we ready to go on?
Go on.
Okay.
I've said it enough.
Okay. Planning and zoning. We have ZC 190639 Brock Michael G and Lynette, zone change to reclassify 0.5 acres from C1 local business zone to RT manufactured home residential district zone within Moapa Valley overlay district, and a waiver of development standards to reduce side setback on an existing single family residential structure generally located on the east side of Moapa Valley Boulevard and approximately 620 feet north of Ryan Avenue within Moapa Valley.
Hello, Moapa Valley Town Board. My name is Chase Bustos. I'm the applicant and correspondent for the subject property at parcel number 070-12-401-004, also known as 604 North Moapa Valley Boulevard. We had an issue with getting this property financed due to the commercial zoning on the property. In 1986, a portion of it was supposed to be zoned for a beauty salon or beauty bar or hairstyle
mm-hmm.
shop.
Mm-hmm.
It ended up being that the whole property was zoned commercial. So there's strictly no residential use there, and that is the main use of this property. It's 0.52 of an acre. The home is 2,198 square foot. That's the main house, and the front 700 foot of it is the part that was supposed to be zoned commercial, but some kind of mix-up. It was zoned all commercial C1, and that's why we were requesting it to be zoned RT. The properties immediately behind it, the big lot is RT zoned, and we're this small little C1 zoning, which is 0.52 an acre, block wall fenced. They want the main use just to be residential, because that's mainly what it's used as now. There isn't anybody with a business license over there operating anything with that's known to the business license department or county with doing any kind of commercial over there. So mainly the lenders won't lend on it for commercial use to residential buyers. And that's who wants to buy it as a residential buyer and have it strictly for the RT zoning. They don't want to make any changes to the property, any additions, anything at all. They just want to buy it and move into it as is, and that's it.
I love hearing that, so why don't you do RE?
That's just staff recommendations, and that's what we were told that would be best suited for that.
So there's no manufactured home there.
No,
I know, because if you're not going to do anything to it, you already have a house taking up most of the lot or a lot of the lot.
Yeah.
Yep. Why wouldn't you go with RE if it's going to stay residential? Because RT is surrounding you in the back, and that's a future trailer park.
Right.
And that's what that could possibly be. But you've got a residential home that's on a half-acre lot.
I'm sure
that's,
it's based on the contiguous zoning.
Well, yep. They got contiguous RE next
on
to it, too.
Right.
So he's got RE on either side, but he's got RT around the back side on a large parcel that's
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably owned by
there is the RE
Lewis.
Next to it. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Down the curve.
Yeah, and then the RT, that was just staff recommendations that put RT?
It's probably a better sell if you're going to get rid of the house and add it to it, make a trailer park out of it. It'd probably get more money out of the property. But for the use that you're talking about, it's RE.
Right. Yep. And that's what they're going for, is just residential use. It's a veteran.
And if that's all they want, I would think RE would be a better mm-hmm. fit.
Yeah.
Unless you want to tear the house down and make it a trailer park.
No, I agree with you, because it's just a single family home there. They just want to get rid of the commercial, because there's not really any commercial right there either.
Well, I know for a fact you won't get any problem or anybody going against it in RE. People will be just tickled pink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, zoning requires that to be RE, that's what we'll go for.
Well, zoning's not going to require it. You can get RT because it's future zone for RT.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also get RE.
Yep.
They wouldn't stop you is what I'm saying.
Right. For some reason, staff just recommended RT. I may, maybe because the lot behind it's a little bit bigger. So, the person moving in has no interest in doing anything commercial there-wise. They just want to use it for a residential use only. So, yep, RE may be better suited for it if that's what it would fall under. But the
that's
staff
just Gene Houston's feeling.
Sure. No,
I'm not saying you have to do that.
The lot on the other side would remain C1, right?
Yes.
That one's actually all residential use too. It's a really small home. If you look at the it's really small, but the house that I'm speaking about is a 21, almost 2,200 square foot with the 700 foot that was supposed to be for the beauty salon in front. The one beside it is a smaller home. I'd probably say around 1,600-1,800 square foot, and that's looks like strictly residential use too, but it is also zoned C1. And maybe if there are lots, beside it is RE and behind it's RT. So either way, either residential zoning would work for that property that you're speaking about.
The other thing RE may give you a problem with is it causes a worse situation with your side setback.
That might be why, because there's a waiver of setback, because the commercial 700 square foot unit next to it is butted up a little bit more closely to that property, so maybe
how far is the house off of the property line?
I think it said the front property line or the side?
The side. Your house, the house that you're talking about.
The side setback. It's within 6 feet of the wall, block wall. It's fully block wall,
right.
Too.
And the RE will cause you an issue there, too.
That might be why they recommended RT from the staff.
RT would have probably a 5-foot setback. where RE would be more like
12.
At least 10.
Yeah, the main thing was just to drop that commercial because it was supposed to be just partially zoned commercial, and they literally zoned the whole property as commercial, which...
And I'm not trying to cause you any trouble. I mean, right. You probably could go either way and get what you want.
I'm going to ask.
Yeah,
but,
I believe that
but for the use, what you're doing, that fits RE, other than the house may not be...
With the setback.
With the right setback.
Yep, just makes more sense to me, that one. That piece of property, RE, and because it's between that and the commercial piece that's next to it.
Yeah.
Yep, there would still have to be a waiver of the setback.
It sounds like you'd have to have a waiver either way.
Yeah, you're going to have one either way, so I'm not sure if it falls under it differently with BNRT or RE.
She's going to go check, I think.
Okay.
No, she's on the phone.
She's on the phone? Oh. She's asking about it. She's checking on
yep.
it.
I don't know if anybody's ever had it.
Why don't you open it for public comment? Just
do we have any people of the public here that want to make a comment to this?
Of course.
No? Don't all jump at once.
The master plan? Gotcha. Okay. Okay. All right. Thanks. It's the master plan. It only allows the lowest possible zoning. If he does RE, it's a non-conforming zone change. Part of the way control.
Okay, so RT is conforming.
Yep.
Yeah, well, you need to do RT then.
That would make it allowable for a lender to finance it.
What she's telling you is if you go into RE like I suggested, it become non-conforming,
right.
And you'd have to go through all kinds of
things.
Yep. 6 months, lots of money.
So you're going to have to do RT.
Yep, that would probably be the best.
And you can put a stick-built house on RT, so it's fine.
You can.
Which it's already with. So you want to vote together on the zone change and the waiver? You're okay with both?
I am.
How about it?
Okay. Right.
Anybody else want to say something?
No.
I'm going to make a motion that we approve ZC190639 for a zone change to RT from C1 and a waiver of development standards to reduce the side setback.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No.
Thanks, Chase.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, now we've got general business. Does anybody have any general business? There's none. Comments by the general public. A period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board council's jurisdiction will be held now. No vote will be taken on a matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium if applicable. Clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record.
Yeah, just come for the fun.
Come on, Gene.
Why are you here?
To listen. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, our next meeting date is October 9th, 2019. This meeting's adjourned.
Thank you all for coming.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Thank you.